and arrested people for sending SMSs critical of General Susilo, the president of Indonesia. There's a claim by Washington that for COPASUS, they will vet out the bad officers and not give them the U.S. training. The previous U.S. training, by the way, has included the urban warfare, psychological warfare, advanced sniper.
We have 10 seconds.
Etc. The U.S. should stop supporting those who kill civilians. And if the justice system was working, Obama could be arrested when he set foot in Indonesia because he's giving arms to killers, and that makes one an accessory to murder. That happens every day.
We're going to have to leave it there. Alan Nairn, thank you for joining us from Jakarta, award-winning journalist John Miller. Thanks for joining us here. I'm Amy Goodman from Doctors Now. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Amy. And hello.
Is this microphone working? Oh, good. Welcome back to the third world here. This is WUSB Stony Brook. Thank you, Amy, from your nice studios that microphones work in. Here at the Stony Brook, where they don't, and it's time, once again, for Off the Wall. Very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. And I know people say, Emmanuel, don't complain about the equipment. Don't complain about things not working. It's kind of hard not to notice when the microphone stops working, because that's sort of how the show works. And when you don't have a microphone, you can't say anything. I guess you can't complain either, but it makes a talk show very difficult when the microphone doesn't work. So that's why I mention it. When you hear long periods of silence, that's they should be explained one way or another. Anyway, this has been quite a week, obviously, because of all the things that have happened since Election Day. Oh boy, yeah, we've got some things to deal with. That's for sure. But, you know, I've got to deal with some other things, too, on a more personal level. This is the week that I became one of those people that has to get into their car by climbing through the passenger side. You know those people? It's happened to me before, but I don't like being in that club. That's one club I'd rather not be a member of. What happened, it happened on Election Day, in fact. It was sort of foreboding. It was a sign of things to come, I guess. I was hanging out with some friends, kind of trying to forget what was going on all around us. And later on that night, as I went to my car, as I am prone to do when I drive someplace, I opened up the door, and what do you think happens? The door handle just snapped right off in my hand. I've never seen such a thing. This has been the worst year for me as far as cars go. All kinds of things have happened, but I never expected this, where I just pull on a handle like I normally do, and snap, it just work anymore. It's no longer a door handle. It's now a piece of plastic that simply has detached itself from the door. And wow, yeah, it's not like there's any other way to open the door on that side. There's no little hinge or anything to push. Without that piece of plastic, you're not getting anywhere. It doesn't matter if the door is unlocked or whatnot. So I have to climb in the passenger. I can do one of two things. I can either open the passenger door, hope that doesn't snap off, because if that snaps off, I just abandon the car at that point. And my car is so close to 250,000 miles. This is my 1993 Toyota that's got almost 250,000 miles on it. 250,000 miles. 600 miles away. It just has to make it another 600 miles. And it's been really good. It runs fine. None of this computer nonsense that you get with the smart car with all kinds of new cars where you can get locked out or things can break. And it's incredible. Coming back from Canada recently with the smart car, having to pay over $3,000 to have a new computer put in. And I realized, you know, 10 years ago, that part didn't exist. You know, the thing that might have broken might have been the engine, might have been the transmission, might have been all sorts of things. But no, now this piece of equipment failed. And all the other pieces of equipment are working fine, except they can't work without that piece of equipment. It's like they installed a middle manager or something in between just to piss you off and aggravate you. And yeah, that's what failed. And it failed literally less than a month after the warranty ran out. So you have to think to yourself, computer? You know, computers know how to calculate things, like dates, and they know how to make themselves not work when necessary. So I'd like to know if anyone else has experienced something like that, where their car computer suddenly failed right after the warranty ran out. Because had that happened a month earlier, would have been covered in full. Happened a month later, $3,000, just like that. Yeah, so anyway, that kind of nonsense doesn't happen on the older cars. The older cars you can take to any mechanic. They don't need access codes. They don't need permission. They don't need all kinds of legal papers entitling them to access your car. No, they can do anything they want to your car because they're mechanics, and that's what mechanics should be able to do. They should be able to just go in there, get dirty, and fix whatever it is they feel like fixing. That's what a mechanic is. And, of course, the auto industry apparently wants to redefine that and turn it into all sorts of licensing issues so that they get the exclusives so that when your car breaks down, you go back to the dealer and you listen to whatever they say because they're the only ones that can access it. You try to access your own car, you're in violation, my friend. It's almost like copying a DVD or whatever else is a massive crime these days. Oh, and let me just finish the smart car story, because I don't know if I did that on these airwaves yet, but after getting the thing back here to the States, after driving all the way back from Canada, after having it torn apart by customs at the Vermont border, and making it back here, and finally relaxing, well, guess what? It broke again. Only this time, it was the alternator. The alternator failed, and at that point, I just kind of gave up. I said, you know, had it towed to the mechanics, local mechanics. I said, I don't think I even want to see this car anymore. I'm so done with this. It's not fun anymore. $3,000, yeah, that was fun, but it's no longer fun. I don't even want to think about this. And I was envisioning, of course, having to go back to Canada somehow maybe getting the thing towed back there, because the only people licensed to replace the alternator were up there. Even the people that sell the same cars down here don't have the access they need because it's a different model. That's how stupid it is. Anyway, about a week went by and I got a call from my mechanic saying, hey, we fixed it. We went out and we rebuilt the alternator. And it's that kind of ingenuity. They had to take everything apart to do this. They had to take the engine out. They had to completely disassemble the car because that was the only way to get to it. But they did it. They figured it out. They rebuilt the alternator. It still cost a bunch of money, but I was just happy to see somebody take the initiative and actually bypass what it was that the car manufacturer wanted them to do. And that's the true spirit of mechanics, the true spirit of hacking. Yes, they go together. They really do. In many ways. And it's really cool when you find somebody, a mechanic that actually gets it, that wants the best for your car, that isn't just intent on having you spend a lot of money, but actually kind of feels at one with the car, is into the whole mechanics of it, feels the beauty of it, wants it to run properly and improve upon it and things like that. It's an art form. It's a science. And it's rare that you actually get to see that, so I'm always happy when it manifests itself somehow. Yeah, so let me get back to my other broken car with the snapped-off door handle. So I've got this half able to be entered car now. I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do about it, if I can glue it back together or something like that. I've never had good luck with gluing things back together. They never seem to stay put. Does not work. But I only have 600 miles to go before I hit a 250,000 miles, and I simply have to do that. I simply have to get to that stage. This is the car, by the way, that tried to kill me a few weeks ago when the control arm snapped. And yeah, I didn't even know about control arms, but apparently this one rotted out and was not detected by anybody. And then one day I was just driving and the thing, suddenly the steering didn't work anymore. Suddenly one tire was facing 90 degree angle to the other one. And apparently had that happened at a high speed, it could have been very catastrophic. But I still love the car. You know, it's been through a lot. It's been through a lot of salty New York City streets and potholes and well, almost 250,000 miles. So yeah, you know what? After that, you can almost expect anything. So that's where I stand right now. I can either climb through the other side of the car, or I can leave the door sort of open, you know, ajar, so that it doesn't snap shut. And then I come back to the car and I just simply pull it open. And I hope that nobody else figures that out, that the car is just ajar, and that somebody can simply, what could they do? They could just get into the car, I guess. And it's not that pleasant once you get inside. Not sure. But you can't leave the door ajar all the time, because sometimes it blows open and hits the car next to it, and that leads to all kinds of other issues. I don't know. These are the hassles that you deal with when you have a 17-year-old car. But I guess we just have to deal with that. These are the choices we make. And that brings me to the choices that were made last week. And boy, I got to tell you, folks, I was expecting something bad. I was expecting a reactionary reaction to the Obama administration. And yes, the Obama administration has accomplished a bunch of things, and has, I guess one of the biggest things it's accomplished is pissing off the right wing. And it annoys me that too many people on the so-called left wing, and I say so-called because I don't think they're serious enough to actually be considered part of anything. These people that don't simply pay attention to what's going on around them. But the people on this so-called left wing don't understand the importance of having people on the right wing that angry. They're angry for a reason. They're angry because obviously things are happening, things they don't like. And yeah, it's not everything we want. You know, I just heard on Democracy Now! Right before this program, I heard somebody calling for President Obama, who's currently in Indonesia, to apologize to the Indonesian government for U.S. policy. Now, come on. I don't care who you have in the White House. You could have Ralph Nader in the White House. You could have Gus Hall in the White House. You could have all kinds. He's the Communist Party guy that ran all the time and never got more than 10 votes. All kinds of people could be in the White House. They would never be able to do that. They would never be able to apologize for U.S. policy. And if they did, they would not find themselves in office for very much longer. They'd be impeached or something. Something would happen to them. Trust me on this. This is the system. You don't like the system? Okay, the system takes a lot longer to change. But you cannot expect to vote somebody into office and have them say all the things you want them to say. It's fantasy. It can never happen. And to have this feigned indignation when it doesn't happen and say, oh, well, he's just like the guy before him. That's nonsense. That's childish. That's stupid. And it's self-defeating because look what happens. You get the Tea Party morons in instead. And then you think anybody's going to be apologizing for U.S. policy anytime soon? I don't think so. The reason all this happened is because not enough people care. Not enough people recognize the fact that, yeah, progress is being made. Albeit not the kind of progress we want as quickly as possible. But did anybody really think that was going to happen? It takes decades. And right now we're going in the wrong direction. Now, listen to what the Republicans are saying. The Republicans had all kinds of victories last week, and it was sickening because I was looking at some of the returns the day after, and every single race seemed to be won by Republicans. And do we forget only 2 years ago the mess we were in as a result of Republican policy? Do we forget this? I think a lot of us don't, but the ones who don't forget it don't care enough to actually speak out and defend the direction that we are moving in. Here's what they say. A post-mortem on Sunday of the midterm elections provided little evidence that Democrats and Republicans worked together to address major issues such as deficit reduction any better than they have in recent years. Republicans interviewed on talk shows promised congressional investigations, an all-out effort to repeal health care reform, and steadfast opposition to any form of higher taxes. Now, that's a great way to get people on your side, say you're against higher taxes. And I think everybody's against higher taxes, but the people who speak the loudest, they're the ones that get listened to the most, even when they don't make any sense. Now, Republicans won more than 60 seats formerly held by Democrats to take majority control of the House, and also narrowed the Democratic majority in the Senate, while winning the lion's share of governor's races around the country. When asked what they would do with their greater power, GOP legislators offered a hard-line agenda that left little room for middle-ground compromise. Yeah, everyone's saying to Obama, compromise. You have to go across the aisle. And Obama did that. And look where it got him. Absolutely no place. Now the Republicans will not be compromising. They want to repeal health care. They want to stop the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. All kinds of things like that. And yeah, we're moving in the wrong direction now. And the only way we're going to start moving in the right direction is if those people out there who believe this is the wrong direction start speaking out. One thing we've learned from the Tea Party is that it is possible to organize and to have a say. There is now more Tea Party representation in Congress than the Green Party has ever had in this country, ever. And I think the Green Party says a lot more that people can identify with, but they don't know how to say it properly, apparently. They don't know how to reach people. They don't know how to get people angry and impassioned. And like so many other people on the left, there's all this infighting and factionalism. And that is the greatest ally of the right wing, without any question. And that's why there's no progress. Imagine if there was that kind of progress on the left that there is on the right. They can't say the people don't exist to support it. They do. They're lost. They don't know what direction to head in because there are so many different fractured routes to go down. I've been at so many rallies for various causes over the years that simply turned people off. You know, a rally for healthcare. Where a speaker says, well, if you support health care, you have to support a Palestinian homeland. That doesn't even make any sense. And while you may support both of them, it doesn't mean that everybody has to support the same things. But if somebody steps out of line and speaks out against one particular thing, then they become the enemy. And all of a sudden you have all kinds of factions and no forward momentum. And that's what happens time after time. If you don't believe this, become part of almost any of these activist groups and see how long it takes before that happens. And the reason it happens is because of kind of this idealistic bent that people on the left tend to have, where we have to respect the people we disagree with and accept them and try to make them happy as well. It's great to say that. But the right wing has it very simply: my way or the highway. We're right, you're wrong. And no, I don't think that's the right way to go at all. But there's something to be learned in how they're able to reach out to people and get them impassioned enough to stay with them and to vote for people who are clearly incompetent and don't know what they're doing, and to close their eyes to things that are so obviously true. It's painful. You have all these folks saying that they want to repeal health care because it's leading to higher taxes, which, first of all, it's not doing. Not significantly in any event. You can always point to something and say, look, the tax rate went up. It's because of this. You can do that for almost anything you want if you really feel like it. And if you say it enough times and you get enough people shouting at the same time, yeah, people will start to believe it. It's very hard to counter that kind of thing, no matter what the issue. But let's look at the facts. What do you think really has caused the tax rate to go up in this country? Are tentative steps into healthcare reform? Now, how about invading countries all throughout the globe? Where are these Tea Partiers when that happens? That's where most of your tax money goes. Do any of them speak out against that? Do you think most people in the country would be outraged to find out how much of their money is going towards something that doesn't make any sense at all, like this whole Iraqi incursion? But, you know, for some reason, it's not brought up. For some reason, we don't have these angry town hall meetings about that. We have angry town hall meetings with senior citizens saying they want the government to get away from health care and leave their Social Security benefits alone and stupid things like that. Things that don't make any sense. And that's what you can do when you get people fired up. That's been the problem with the left in this country for such a long time. They don't know how to get people fired up. Listen to what happened in Germany this week. Been following this? There is this train. Yeah, they have a lot of trains over there. That's another thing, but I'm going to get into that this week. But there was this train that was transporting nuclear waste from somewhere in northern France to somewhere in Germany. Some kind of trade deal. I don't know. Thousands of protesters stopped a train bringing nuclear waste to Germany after clashes with police who tried to break their blockade of the railway line, one of the biggest protests in that country for decades. The train was forced to halt 30 kilometers away from its destination by the demonstrators who staged a sit-in along the track throughout Sunday night. This has been going on for days. I've been watching this and seeing how these demonstrators just will not stop. They finally have conceded defeat, that the nuclear waste has been delivered to its destination, and that's that. But they definitely got their voices heard. And it definitely spoke to something that a lot of people in the region believe, that nuclear waste is not a good thing. Well, guess what? In this country, we have lots of nuclear waste, too. You don't see that kind of a response. Is it because people don't care? I think people here care as much. But they don't have the organizational skills. They don't have the facts. They don't have something where they can express themselves. We just sort of are resigned to the fact that, yeah, these are bad things happening around us. What are you going to do? We're enslaved so much in our 9-to-5 environments that all we can do is think about what we're going to do for our next paycheck. And how much overtime we're going to put in. And how we're possibly going to get enough sleep the next night. These mundane issues. And they lead you to give up and not think about the things that really matter. Such as, yeah, transporting nuclear waste through your country is probably not the best thing to do. Invading other countries, probably not the best thing to do. cutting back on health care. You know what? That's not a good thing to do either. And can you imagine what would happen in any of these countries over in Europe if the government decided, you know what, we're not going to be doing that health care thing anymore. We're going to give it back to private enterprise. People there would be outraged. And it's not because they want to pay more taxes. They're not saying, government, how dare you lower our taxes. No, it's because they believe the government should be providing services as well as taking taxes. Yeah, they pay a bit more in taxes over there for the most part. But guess what? If you add up what we have to pay in lieu of taxes to cover the basic services that they have over there, we are getting ripped off. We are paying so much more. But yet the people who say healthcare is going to cost us more in taxes, they're the ones that get heard, rather than the people that say, how dare we not have healthcare in this country, where people are losing their homes, people are dying because they can't afford to pay for treatment for diseases that could be controlled, where we're living in squalor because of those people who believe the rich should be protected even more than the poor. And the funny thing is, it's the middle class saying this. The middle class protecting the billionaires, saying, how dare you charge them more for taxes? It's an outrage. Not realizing that by doing so, they're paying more themselves. And that's where your higher taxes come from. From being misled, from paying for wars, for not demanding services from your government. The demonstrations that took place all throughout France in the last month or so, against raising the retirement age from 60 to 62 in the year 2018. Now, they lost that fight too, but boy, did they really make their point known. Millions and millions of people participated. Yes, millions of people participated in this throughout the country because they did not want to be losing services. Hey, it might bring down your tax rate. You know, in this country, can you imagine if all of a sudden the retirement age was lowered to 60, people got more benefits, but of course that means you have to pay more into it. Oh, how dare they do that? It's big government. They're taking more of our money. But they don't finish the sentence and say, we're getting more services out of it. So in this particular case over there, they were giving less services, and you saw the reaction. For something that we would consider so trivial, a 2-year rise in the retirement age in another 8 years. That kind of passion is what we need here, and that's what we don't have. That's what is sad, and that's what's leading us in the wrong direction. It's not the people who vote for the other side, because they're always going to vote for the other side. It's those people who don't care enough to vote for the side they believe in, who convince themselves that everybody is the same, that because you don't see incredible change within 2 years, that it's all hopeless, and who pretty much concede the race and give the spoils to the people that got us into this mess in the first place. That's where the problem is. And if this continues for the next 2 years, well, that's it. That's it. We're back to the Bushes and the Reagans and the Nixons and all those people. And how sad will that be? You think we'll have this chance again in our lifetimes? I doubt it. Well, here's hoping people wake up. And here's hoping people wake up and give us a call, too, because we have our last night of fundraising here at WUSB. And I believe the word for last week was atrocious that we did. Yes, we did atrociously. Very badly. I got chewed out for 15 minutes after the show. You know, it's not my fault. That's what I tried to say anyway. It's the fact that, it's kind of related. It's related to people thinking that their voices don't count, thinking that it doesn't really matter. They can't change the future. They're powerless. But your call to 631-632 WUSB, 631-632-9872, is a vote. A vote for non-commercial radio, a vote for alternative voices, a vote for having an outlet that you can often participate in. We take phone calls all the time here. And whether it be music, whether it be news, whether it be all manner of other things that we broadcast on this particular station, it all serves a purpose. It's all inspirational to somebody and educational to all. Now, what we're offering tonight, this is kind of interesting because we're offering this, and we've never offered anything like this at any other station or any other show for such an incredibly good deal. But basically, we're offering 40 DVDs, 40 DVDs from the Next Hope Conference. They're the highlights. They're the most popular talks. And we're going to play an excerpt from one of those talks right now. For a $75 pledge, you get all 40 DVDs sent to you. 631-632-9872. We're going to play an excerpt from Social Engineering. And Social Engineering is basically a form of hacking where you get human beings to give you information that they're not supposed to give you simply by giving them information that makes them believe you're somebody you're not. Now, we're going to hear a bit of a story from Kevin Mitnick. I'm sure you've heard that name. He was in attendance. He was at that particular panel. But keep in mind, this is only one section of one DVD of 40 that you will get for calling 631-632-9872, pledging $75 in the next half hour. And after that, it's over. After that, the fundraiser ends, and this deal will not be offered again anywhere. It's true. The most important thing, though, is that your pledge to this radio station of any amount helps to keep the microphone working, helps to keep the studio working, helps to keep voices coming out, alternative ideas coming out. If you're listening now, you must be aware of that. Now, of course, I'm speaking to the people who are listening live. If you're not listening live, go to our website, wusb.fm, and there are ways of pledging there as well. But if you're listening live, please, let's, in this last half hour, get a show of support so that we know our words are reaching people and making a difference. Maybe there'll be hope for the future. Huh, hope, get it? Yeah, Hope Conference. Hackers on Planet Earth. Let's take a listen to Kevin Mitnick's story from the Social Engineering panel. Again, the phone number 631-632-9872. Okay, we're still working out the phone kinks, and I think Kevin's got a story to share while we do that.
You want a story? Okay. I was on the panel 2 years ago, and I don't recall if I told the story because I don't want to say it again. Did I cover the story about the social engineering attack on Motorola? Does anyone remember? Yes or no? I did? No, Motorola.
That was a different one.
Okay, this is a different one. All right, I'll tell this one. So at the time, it was 1993. I'm living in Denver, Colorado. At the time, I wasn't living under the name of Kevin Mitnick because certain law enforcement agencies wanted to speak with me, and I didn't want to talk to them. So I was living under the name of Eric Weiss. Why Eric Weiss? Because that is the real name for the famous magician Harry Houdini. I thought I had a sense of humor, but later I found out the FBI had no sense of humor, but that's a story for another day. So at the time, one of my colleagues at the law firm where I was working handed me a brochure for the MicroTac ultralight cell phone. And what was cool about the cell phone is it looked like a Star Trek communicator, kind of like the iPhone of today. And I wanted to get the source code because I wanted to see actually how this phone worked. I wanted to become more invisible to the network because at the time I was running from the government, so I'd want to be able to modify the firmware on the actual cell phone to create invisibility. So I left the office around 3 o'clock one afternoon. It was actually snowing in downtown Denver. I get out of the lobby and I power up a cell phone, incidentally, not under Kevin Mitnick or Eric Weiss. And I call directory assistance and I get the number for Motorola Corporation. I get a receptionist and I say, hey, I'm trying to reach the project manager of the MicroTac Ultralight project. So the nice receptionist told me that all cellular phone development was handled out of Schaumburg, Illinois, and she asked, do you want that number? I said, sure. She gives me the number, I call it, I get a different receptionist. And I tell her I'm looking for the project manager of the MicroTac Ultralight project. So I'm transferred around 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8 times, and finally I'm speaking to the VP of R&D for all of Motorola cell phones, for what they call the Pan American Cellular Subscriber Group. And I say, hey, this is Rick over in Arlington Heights, because during the earlier phone calls, I obtained intel that they had a facility in Arlington Heights. And I said, I'm looking for the project manager of the MicroTac. And he goes, oh, that's Pam. She works for me. I go, oh. And he goes, would you like her extension? I go, sure. Wrote it down. And he goes, can I help you with anything? I go, no, no, no. I'll just talk to Pam, but thank you very much. So, of course, my next call is to Pam. But I don't get her. I get her outgoing greeting on her voicemail. And she told her callers that she just left on a 2-week vacation and that she'll be returning on such and such date. And if you needed any help whatsoever, to please call Alicia on extension blah, blah, blah. So who's my next call to? Alicia. So I call Alicia. I go, hey, Alicia, this is Rick over in R&D in Arlington Heights. How are you today? I'm fine. How are you, Rick? Well, I'm doing great. I said, did Pam leave on vacation yet? Because when I spoke to her last week, she said she might be leaving on vacation. Oh, she had. Well, she told me that if she didn't have time to do this for me, that I can call you, that you would help me out. She goes, well, what do you need, Rick? I said, I need the source code for the MicroTac Ultralight. And by this time, I'm walking down the streets of Denver. It's snowing. There's horns honking. This is all extemporaneous, so there was no preparation. And I was a little bit nervous because you could hear background noise. I didn't have a noise-canceling microphone in my cell phone. And she goes, well, Rick, what version do you want? And I didn't prepare. I had no idea. So I just said, how about the latest and the greatest? So I could hear her typing on the computer, and she's fishing around on their network. And after about 4 or 5 minutes, she comes back. She goes, Rick, I found the latest release to the MicroTac Ultralight, but there's a problem. What is it? She goes, well, there's hundreds of directories, and within the directories, there's hundreds of files. And I go, well, do you know how to use tar and gzip? And she goes, no. I go, would you like to learn? And she goes, yes. So I became her instructor for the day. So after the day's lesson, we had a 3-megabyte file of the source code that I wanted to look at. So my next question to her is, do you know how to use FTP? And she goes, file transfer program? And I go, yes, precisely. So think about this. I'm walking down the street. It's all off the cuff. I'm 10 minutes away from my apartment, and I couldn't give her my IP address, hacker.colorado.edu, right? Because that's outside of Motorola's campus. But fortunately, I had a good knack for remembering numbers from my phone freaking days, and actually remembered an IP address of a system where there was another anonymous account. So I said, try to open up a connection to this IP address. And she tried, and it kept timing out. Twice, 3 times, and she goes, Rick, She goes, I'm going to talk to my security manager about what you're asking me to do because I can't open a connection. And I go, no, because she's already on hold. And I go, oh, my God, you know, obviously the jig is up. So I'm thinking as I'm walking down the streets, and you know when you're waiting for something, how seconds become minutes, minutes become hours. And, you know, I was getting nervous, more nervous as the time went on. Thinking, oh, they're going to hook up a tape recorder and that's going to be Exhibit A later. So she comes back on the phone. She goes, Rick? Notice I'm not speaking. She goes, well, I spoke to my security manager about what you're asking me to do. And that IP address you gave me is outside of Motorola's campus. Well, my manager told me that to send you this file, we have to use a special proxy server, so he was kind enough to give me his username and password to send you the file. So by the time I put the key into the front door of my apartment in Denver, the source code to the MicroTac Ultralight was sitting on the box. So I think that really illustrates the threat and impact of social engineering. You could have the best technology money can buy, and if you have a good gift to gab and you find the right targets within an organization, that bypasses all the technologies. So there you go.
Awesome.
You see, it's all about getting people to trust you, to get people on your side. And when they're on your side, they'll help you out, even if what they're doing makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. You can, Kevin's got a great phone personality, so he's able to get people to trust him when he's talking to them on the phone. And why is that?
For you.
Damn you and your analog ring.
Well, don't forget the whole trust issue here.
Okay, we're going to break in here. That was an excerpt from Social Engineering from the Next Hope Conference, which took place last July. It goes on for 90 minutes, and that's just one of the 40 DVDs that you will get if you give us a call at 631-632-9872. You'll get 40 of the most popular talks of the Next Hope Conference. Yeah, we had a lot of talks, so 40 is the most popular, but we had well over 100. And Finn is joining us.
Absolutely amazing stuff.
And really was.
Kevin Mitnick right there talking to us about his experience is just an amazing, amazing thing.
Now, we went on. We made some phone calls in that panel as well, and we had all kinds of other stories being told by different people. It's very entertaining, but it's only one of many other talks and panels and bits of entertainment that we have as our way of saying thank you for calling. And we want to thank two people who called up during the break, Chris from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and Reggie from Mount Sinai, New York. Thank both of you for calling in, getting that package. You'll be very happy with it. And please, if you're out there and you have not called yet, you have about 15 minutes to do so. You will be thrilled with these DVDs when they show up. Imagine a big box of DVDs.
And there's how many of them?
40. People think I'm saying 4 or 14 or no, 40. I mean, it's incredible. We basically will make them tonight and have them sent out to you as soon as we get the either the check or your credit card clears or whatever. 631-632-9872.
631-632-9872. Give us a call right now. $75 pledge. Get you this set of DVDs, 40 DVDs, which I can't believe myself. Mm-hmm. We just had a caller before, Reggie, as a matter of fact, giving us the props for speaking the truth on the radio, something that doesn't often happen in the
when
world.
When do we do that? Oh, what I was saying before. Really?
Somebody agrees? What you were saying.
Someone agrees with me. Wow, that's always nice to know.
Must have been listening to an archive of my show.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, we do this kind of thing here at the radio station because, well, it's the only way that we can survive and get things fixed and keep things going. We don't have a whole lot of money and support behind us, so we have to have our listeners step up. And I think that's probably far preferable than having all kinds of corporate grants and things like that where we couldn't say the things that we say. We couldn't speak the quote-unquote truth.
Exactly. We are actually an independent voice out there. You can listen to this radio station all different hours of the day. You will hear such a wide range of opinions. It's unbelievable. The talk shows during the day, the stuff in the evening, the music programs, you know, all kinds of tunes from the blues to reggae to freeform like my show, a whole bunch of things. We do what we want to do here. Mm-hmm. We say what we want to say. Nobody comes in and tells us what to say. There's no corporate overlord. It's you. It's you. Please,
right.
we cannot emphasize this enough that it is you. This is a community station, 631-632-9872.
Now, you can join that community by giving us a call right now and pledging. The $75 pledge will get you the 40 DVDs, but we have other levels as well. We have everything from, I believe $25 on up. And all kinds of different items that are,
yeah,
that are here.
We have hats, we have mugs, we have T-shirts for $50, sweatshirts. A whole bunch of great, great stuff, and all with the WUSB logo. But plus, the biggest thing right now, I think only until, I don't think you're giving me a few sets of these to give away
no.
on my show.
No, you may not have them.
Oh.
No, only for my listeners.
Oh.
And that's why, because I know a lot of listeners out there either went to the Hope Conference or wanted to go to the Hope Conference or certainly know what the Hope Conference is. It's basically a biannual thing that we have every 2 years. You know, biannual can also mean twice a year. It's one of those weird words.
I don't know. It's a word that disturbs me, though.
Yeah, it's there's nothing wrong about it. But every 2 years, even years, we have a Hope Conference, and it stands for Hackers on Planet Earth. We've been doing this since 1994, but we only started doing it every 2 years since 2000. And we have all kinds of amazing speakers from the Hacker Underground and all sorts of other communities as well. It's a great way for thousands of people to come together and exchange information and stories and things like that. Getting the DVDs is like being there. In fact, it's more like being there than being there was, because you could not possibly have seen 40 talks, let alone the hundreds that we had in various places.
And a bunch
places.
Of those are running simultaneously, correct?
Yeah, the three at once. So it's impossible for you to see all three
right.
at once, or even to stay in a room and see, you know, all the things that took place on that track. So, yeah, that's why we're offering it, because the listeners appreciate that kind of thing.
Yeah, so even if you've been there and seen it, you couldn't see all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great memento of the conference. And if you haven't been there and want to participate and want to get a gist of what it's all about, not only do you get the 40 DVDs, which is an amazing amount of stuff,
mm-hmm.
but you also get the peace of mind to support WUSB right here in Stony Brook Community Radio. But I know people are listening all around the world. And we know that because we look at the numbers. And we know you're listening out there. And if this is important to you,
631-632-9872.
Right.
Now, as long as Finn is standing here, that means he's not answering the phone, which means there's no phone calls coming in, which, you
I'm
know,
getting an itchy hand here.
Trying to get rid of him here, and you folks aren't helping by not
I
making the phone.
I barged in, and we're waiting for the phone to ring to give me an excuse to leave.
Yeah.
631-632-9872. Give us a call right now. Support Off the Wall. Support the fine work Emmanuel does right here. All the international trips, all the entertainment. I got to tell you, some of those international trips, absolutely amazing stuff, a lot of fun, and really informative.
Oh, we've got more
and
coming up.
We do have a caller, I do believe.
Oh, my God.
I am going to answer.
Okay, thank you, Finn. Get on out of here. Finn's on his way to answer the phone. I want to thank the people for calling in. 631-632-9872. It's great to know there are listeners. I can't tell you how much that means to me, knowing there are people out there that listen. That's the magic of radio, because I can't see you, and you can't see me, and that's, of course, also a good thing. But we know that we exist, and we're speaking to each other, and we're talking and sharing information and things like that. All right. 631-632-9872. And yeah, more phones are ringing. That's great to see. And every bit counts. Every bit matters. If by some chance the phone keeps ringing for you and Finn is on the phone with somebody else, please keep trying. Because I can't pick up the phone while I'm talking on the microphone. That's one of the problems. But your support means everything to us. 631-632-9872. Once again, $75 pledge gets you the 40-set DVD of the highlights of, I'm going to say it again, 40 DVD set of highlights of the Hope Conference. Yes. And that's something that retails for so much more than that. It's not even funny. So not only are you investing in the radio station, but you're getting a great deal on top of that. 631-632-9872. All right. Let's get back to all kinds of things that are happening. Prospects for Congress to authorize repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell face new uncertainties as time runs out for the Senate to act, and strong objections remain among Republicans and the most senior ranks of the military. Yeah. So guess what? Because of the election results, all the more likely that Don't Ask, Don't Tell won't be repealed after all. And the thing is, everyone is going to be mad at Obama for this. They're going to say, well, you didn't keep your promise. And how much sense does that make in the first place? When it seems obvious that most of Congress, and by extension, most of the American public, do not support this. So for the president to go and sign an executive order to get his way over the way of the American people, that is political suicide. And that's what any president in his right mind would never do. Would never sign an executive order against the will of the people. If the will of the people is not what was represented last Tuesday, that needs to be said. That needs to be demonstrated. Now, you don't have to wait for the next election to do this. You don't have to wait until 2011 or even 2012. The time to act is now. Time to have rallies and noisy demonstrations and things to get you on the news and to let the world know that there is another side to this. That time is right now. Now think how quickly the war in Iraq could have ended And you know, that's another thing. You notice we're not in Iraq anymore. You notice that the troops have been pulled out. Yeah, have people forgotten about that? Have people forgotten about the guy who got us in there in the first place? Have people forgotten how much money that cost? How much of our taxpayer money went to fund that charade? Have people forgotten about the thousands of American lives that were lost as a result, who died for nothing? We're willing to just forget all of that and get all righteously indignant at the guy who's trying to change things, even a little bit. Can you imagine what would happen if we tried to change things a lot? Well, I guarantee you, if things like this keep happening, nobody is going to dare to try in the future. Who would be crazy enough to do that? Who would be crazy enough to put a healthcare program that really did something, that really turned the healthcare industry on its ear, which it definitely needs to be turned onto, when such a tentative step has been met with such outrage? Even though it's easy for us to look at this and say, where is this outrage coming from? It doesn't make any sense. These steps are going to improve life for people. They're going to reduce costs. They're going to make sure that people can get health care in the first place. How is that a bad thing? Well, it's a bad thing if enough people yell and scream about it, regardless of whether or not it makes any sense. And we heard similar things in the past for issues that seemed to make sense, but which so many people were against, such as civil rights. Yeah. There was a backlash against that as well. But enough people believed that this was the right way to go, so that's the direction we chose to move in. But if those people don't speak up, if those people remain quiet, well, the will of the majority, even if it's wrong, will be heard, and that will be the dominant force of this land. And that's a tragedy. Now, healthcare alone is just one issue, but it's an easy issue to look at. It's an easy issue to defeat the other side that is trying to convince us that it's something that is horribly inefficient and is going to result in people going bankrupt and death committees, whatever they call them, and all kinds of other things that will decide your future. The only thing you need to do is point to other places in the world where the system works. Point to virtually every country in Europe, or just point north to Canada. No matter what they say, the evidence is there that the system works and people are happy with it. Oh yeah, you can find a couple of people that will speak out against it. I could find a couple of people to speak out against the moon in this country. Doesn't mean anything. You can always find somebody to take your side, but unless you get a sizable number of people who agree on something and are willing to point out particular problems, specific problems that actually make sense, that opposition doesn't really exist unless you have that kind of thing. And every time I go overseas and talk to people in different countries, yeah, I find people who criticize their healthcare systems. I find people who criticize their high-speed rail networks. But usually it's because they could be better. It's not because they object to the entire system in the first place. It's not because they want to go back and get rid of it. No, they will staunchly defend the system. That is the proof right there. How are we any different? Why should we be different? Why should we have to make healthcare a commodity? And again, that's just one issue. One of many issues where people are being misled, where the people who speak the loudest and talk in the most simple tones designed to get headlines and ratings, they're the ones that get listened to. Well, that has to change. That is the key. We can say, oh, maybe people will wake up in 2 years. They will not wake up in 2 years unless something happens to wake them up. And that's something we have all failed at. So that doesn't change. Yeah, look forward to President Palin or equivalent, because that is exactly what's going to happen. I hate to sound so pessimistic, but wow. It's rare to see so many people misled and buying into things. I mean, yeah, there are people who truly believe what they say, and I'm not negating that, and I respect their opinion and all that, but so many people that I have conversations with who simply listen to what's being shouted at them from Fox News and various other people, and they just buy it. It's like the whole thing saying Obama is a Muslim. They just buy it because someone keeps saying it over and over again, and they will not look at the evidence and actually think for themselves. And that has to change. All right. Your feedback, of course, is always welcome. And the phone lines are open now if you want to call in for that pledge. 631-632-9872. Last 5 minutes of the show. And again, $75 pledge gets you a 40 DVD set from the Next Hope Conference. 631-632-9872. And, of course, we'd like to hear from you. otw@2600.com. It's Emmanuel for Off the Wall. We'll see you again next week. Some words to philosophize by. Good night.
Kids, Finn with you, WUSB, Stony Brook, until the 9 p.m. hour. Please stay tuned with us. It is Radiothon. We do have extremely special premiums tonight, so please stay tuned for these great opportunities for you, great gift-giving opportunities. Stay tuned.